And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
The beach, the only place to read your emails and tweets. This is the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, May 26th. I'm still J.E. Skeets, hashtag full squad. From here on out, we got the back-to-back most improved baseball player, Tass Mellis.
Yeah, here I am.
We got my top shot hot boy, fellow freak, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo. Oh, international man of mystery, always taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Mm-hmm. Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen for the second time today, JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us once again live on YouTube. All we ask is to like the video, comment under the video, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. And go grab yourself some sweet No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. I see my man Tassie. I got the purple No Dunks circle logo on there, and Tassie's got the big beef that he's rocking. Oh, Lee's even got the Warriors. Wow. No Dunks. He believes. So
wow.
Go to nodunks.com. Grab your No Dunks gear. Okay, another awesome batch of questions. Let's get to it, Tass.
Wow, we got a good batch here. So let's start it up. Hey, Dunksters. After listening to your Western Conference playoff preview, a thought occurred to me. I don't know a single person who is rooting for the LA Clippers. Not one. You know somebody who's rooting for the Utah Jazz, do you? Anyway, I was then explaining to my wife what my rooting interests are, and they seem to be based more on who I don't want to succeed rather than who I do. So, putting odds and win probability aside, what is the one team you would really like to see succeed in this year's playoffs? And, I'll throw this in here, the one team you would be fine to see out in the first round. For me, I'd love to see Phoenix do well, and yeah, bye-bye Clips. Keep on jonesing. That's from Rich. Trey, what do you got?
Well, Rich, a quick shout-out to our buddy Peter Sawkins, a big Clippers fan, winner of the Great British Bake Off, likely baking his feelings right now, wrapping them up in a babka to get over the 0-2 hole that the Clippers have dug themselves. Outside of him, it's like Billy Crystal and maybe Kevin Arnovitz. Is Kevin Arnovitz a Clippers fan or was he just a Clippers blog guy?
Yeah,
I don't know which.
I'm not sure either. Seems I feel like he was more just reporting on the team. But
yeah, he's a Hawks
also,
man.
Norm Souza, our old score buddy.
Norm Souza, nice.
Okay.
Well, he posted an Instagram story of himself in Clippers gear at the Clippers game.
Okay.
So I assume he's cheering for them.
Well, let's not forget Clipper Daryl too.
Of course.
Yeah. See, I wasn't just throwing a stray at a Utah Jazz fan at the beginning. I thought this more of in the context of like, do you know this person? Like, I wouldn't consider Clipper Daryl. Do you know 15 other people or 16 people that are fans of each team? You know, I love basketball.
Well,
I
agree
with it, but I don't. I mean, I know internet people, but I don't personally know.
Well, yeah, you do. True. You know Lee Ellis. He cheers for every team.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
He's a patch man.
Go Clippers, right, Lee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, people are saying Paul Shear as well.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we don't know him personally, but that is a good one. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
We gotta meet. That's our goal for 2021 is to meet in IRL, meet a Clippers fan.
Okay. We got to meet the Clipper bro at the end of the show.
Oh, that's a great point.
We got to do a podcast.
Isn't Matt supposed to be tracking that guy down? That was his job. He's got to go and find him.
Yeah, we did give him that assignment. You're right. Matty O's got to go find that Clipper bro who's a Clipper man now. Like, I don't know.
He's seen a lot in his Clipper fan lifetime. Yeah. As for me, a team I would like to see succeed in this year's playoffs, it's the Nuggets for me. Nikola Jokic, Skeets, ever since you said my game was like him, he's become my NBA avatar. Same birthday, same shape of a body, same general game where you want to stay outside and not bash into the other guys. It hurts my heart to hear all of this talk that he could be the worst MVP ever. It should have been this guy talk. A long postseason run by the Nuggets, considering what happened with Jamal Murray, puts all that kind of stuff to bed. If Murray doesn't get hurt, I'm probably picking the Nuggets to win the championship this year. Wow. Just because they were so good. They were so good when he was playing. Michael Porter Jr. obviously has taken a nice leap here, and Aaron Gordon fit in perfectly, but I still think it's possible they could win the title this year, but certainly more unlikely now with the Murray injury. As for a team I don't want to succeed, the Knicks, duh. I do enjoy the New York Knicks this year. I love the underdog factor. I've had faith in Tibbs for a long time. Nice to see it pay off, but I don't want them to win. Right. I don't want to see the Knicks succeed. A lot of people say the league is better when the Knicks are good. I can't deny it. It was fun seeing Madison Square Garden rocking. And it's also fun to see the Knicks losing in Madison Square Garden. So another added benefit there. I would like to see the Hawks do well, continue playing in the playoffs here in Atlanta. So, yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword for me. Getting to see the Hawks win, good, and the Knicks lose, also good.
Would you get more satisfaction, you think, Trey, though, of the Knicks going out in the first round or losing a heartbreaker in the finals? Like losing Game 7 in the finals or just getting swept by the Hawks in the first round? Which one would give you more joy?
Wow. The Knicks in the finals? I can't even fathom that. I mean, I know it did happen 1 year while I was alive, but it was a year basically nobody counts.
It's happened twice since you've been alive.
Has it?
94 and 99.
Yeah, they got swept by the...
Oh,
by
I mean...
No, they lost in seven.
Obviously, 94 doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
The best player in the league was not playing. The only reason the Knicks made it to the finals is because Jordan was retired, and 99 was a half season. So the Knicks haven't been good in 50 years. So I love seeing them bad.
They also made it because Pippen fought with Kukoc, you know? Like, if the team was on the same page, who knows? Who knows?
I was thinking the Magic, too, about getting swept in the finals. I guess the Knicks didn't get swept in the finals.
No, the Knicks lost. The Knicks were up 3-2, lost in seven. Yeah, and they lost in five to the Spurs in 99.
Yeah. What about you, Lee? I mean, again, you cheer for every team, but who are you going with?
Oh, Lillard. I'd love to see the Blazers break through. I think that would be the one guy if he went on a Dirk-like run and managed to pull off an unlikely victory coming from sixth in the Western Conference. Lillard's had one of those, he's that sort of guy. He's had some incredible playoff moments, but his team's also run into some incredibly powerful teams like the Warriors over the last, three or four years. And I would love to see him break through with the Blazers. He seems like the sort of guy who's going to be there forever no matter what. And it would be awesome to see him do it because I think he's capable. I just, there's always seems to be a couple of teams better than the Blazers. So I can't see them really winning the whole thing this season, but it'd be awesome if they just ran through the West. I mean, obviously that would mean the Nuggets would be out, which I don't really want them to go out in the first round because... imagine we lose. Steph Curry was an MVP finalist. He didn't even make the playoffs. Imagine Jokic, the favorite, went out in the first round and then would have Embiid, the only other guy who was a MVP nominee to make. And he might not even make it past the second round. So that would be pretty bad. So, I don't really have a team. I'm not sort of pulling against anyone. I mean, I would like to see the Suns, I guess, knock out the Lakers. I think that would be a great story. But that's not going to happen. So, I'm pulling for Dame and the Blazers.
Okay. Tess, what about you?
I'm pulling for the Grizzlies now because I think it would give a lot of franchises hope that their team could be good, just like the Grizzlies, because they've got a lot of guys that are contributing that aren't really high picks besides Ja Morant. And so they'd get far, you kind of look at them as a bit of a model and say, yeah, we draft one good player, we can build through the draft otherwise, because they have Morant picked at number two, but then they have Dylan Brooks, who's a second rounder, Grayson Allen, Desmond Bane, Kyle Anderson, all late first rounders. They do have Jaren Jackson, who's a number four pick, but he hasn't contributed a lot this year. Valanciunas, number five pick, but they got him in a trade. Justice Winslow, number 10 pick, they got him in a trade. So I think that can be like a prototype. I'm just looking big picture here. There's a bunch of teams that didn't make the postseason, but if you look at the Grizzlies, they could be the model. And so looking forward to game two tonight between them and the Jazz. I like Lee. I'm not in a hater type of mood right now. The Clippers, super interesting if Kawhi Leonard decides I'm not going to be here anymore, just from guys who cover the league, that perspective. Like, if he decides to leave, which he could, if they lose, there, I guess there's that chance. I mean, that's amazing, like, very, very interesting. But then, where does he go? Just another super team in Golden State? Okay, going too far. I'm going too far. I don't really hate any team. That's what I'm getting at.
I definitely would love to see the Brooklyn Nets lose in the first round so I would win $100 from Tim.
Oh, yeah.
That's my answer. No doubt. Give me that $100. Come on, Nets. Fold to the Celtics here. Get comfortable up 2-0 and somehow lose. Yeah, not happening. I'm also cheering, I guess, for the Suns. I'd love to see Devin Booker go maybe further in the playoffs than Bradley Beal, so Lee and I could continue that beef between those two of players of ours. I'm a big Mikal Bridges fan. I think it would be incredible if, like, Chris Paul miraculously did get a ring on all teams, seeing the Suns. Like, again, this is not going to happen, but this is the question, like, who you're cheering on here. Yeah, give me Phoenix, but going to be tough against the mighty Lakers now that AD and LeBron are getting a little healthier and the defense is locked in, and who knows if Chris Paul's even going to play when we get back to LA there. Fun question to get us started here, though. Next one. Hello, No Dunks crew. The Spurs were without Derek White when they played the Grizzlies in the play-in tournament. After a rough start to the season, White regained some of his bubble form, averaging 18.5 points, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block on 45-42-85 shooting splits over his last 10 games. Pretty good. As a Spurs fan, I had hopes they could make some noise down the stretch and into the playoffs, but these were quashed by his season-ending injury. So who are some other players on playoff teams who are very important to their team's chances at success, but who might not always be thought of as such? Cheers. That's from William, your Norwegian Glaswegian pal. I have no idea if I'm saying that last part right, but he's from Norway. So shout out to William. It's a good question. I thought I would hit you guys sort of quickly here with an important player for each playoff team.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. Now, you can obviously pick like 3 or 4 in many instances. So I did this fairly quickly. But here we go. I'll start in the West. The Utah Jazz, I'm going Royce O'Neal. All right. This is like a 7-7 guy, but he hits like close to 40% from three, and he's a lockdown defender. He's important in any of these matchups where he's like getting a lot of the duties on the best perimeter players. Grizzlies, Kyle Anderson, give me slow-mo. Yeah. Again, you can pick a lot from the Grizzlies, I feel like, but average 12.5 points per game in the regular season. Actually caught me by surprise a little bit. He's a facilitator. He's got like the Boris Diaw vibes to him. He's got those super long arms. He's poking the ball out all the time. So give me Kyle Anderson. With the Suns, I'll go Mikal Bridges, third year in the league. He's probably already one of the better 3-and-D guys in the league. He's been really quiet so far in these playoffs, though he has hit 2 threes in both games, so that's good. I also looked it up. His basketball reference nicknames portion of the website, very long for Mikal Bridges. His nicknames
like
are
his arms.
His nicknames are Noodles, Inspector Go-Go Gadget, String Bean, Brittle, and Praying Mantis. I've never heard a single one of these, but yeah, they got a lot up on basketball.
They're all good, honestly, because his arms are crazy long. The game was on last night, and I don't know. We were talking about how a lot of basketball players look old in the face. They showed Mikal Bridges, and Laura's like, not this guy. He still looks like a baby.
Super youthful looking.
Can't deny it. I said, but look at his arms. Look at this man's arms. He's like six. He's what, 6'8" or something like that. Yeah. He's got a wingspan that's like 7'3".
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm like, Laura, you gotta check out this guy's arms. The only thing as long as his arms is his basketball reference nicknames. They call him Noodles. They call him Inspector Gadget. And once you mention it to somebody who hasn't seen those long, gangly arms, they can't stop looking at him.
Yeah.
She was just like, look at those arms go. He shot a 3 from the corner. How do you coordinate those arms to do that?
You're making me think that my observation was wrong. Like, I want to add Hot Potato to the nickname list for him because it just seems like he just gets rid of the ball and has the ability to not even hold it, just like, whoo, and shoot it in. But maybe it's the length of his arms that
made
me
so close.
Really stare. Yeah, you can dunk from the free point line just standing there.
I would love to see Mikal Bridges on a bike because I bet his arms, like, drag on the ground. They're so long.
Maybe he gets, like, a low-rider bike just so he can have his arms up there. Like Orange County Customs sending it for those guys.
What was that show called? Was the other one Chopper? What was it called?
Orange County Chopper. Yeah,
American
yeah.
Chopper, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's keep it going here. Lakers. I'm going to go KCP, Caldwell Pope. We saw how important he was to the Lakers title run last year. He put up an 0-for in game 2, But he finished a plus 19 in that game in the win against the Suns. Obviously helps with who you're playing. Without them, but he can play defense, and he can shoot. So he's important. The Nuggets, I'm going to go Austin Rivers because he's their starting two guard right now. He's scrappy. He gave him 9 points in 20 minutes in game two. You know, they are short on bodies in the backcourt there. So Austin Rivers probably has to play, you know, key minutes here, have an important role in them moving on, trying to beat the Blazers and even doing some possibly other damage as we go on. Blazers, Sir Robert Covington. I'll give him the nod for this one. He's played big minutes through the first two games. Mixed results, though. And this was the guy that was their big move, right, Lily, during the offseason. Like, one of their big moves, acquiring him in exchange for Trevor Ariza. The draft rights, I forgot, to big beef Isaiah Stewart, obviously found his way to the Pistons. The Blazers protected a 2021 first-round pick. That's what it took to get Covington there from the Rockets. So he's important. He needs to score for them a little bit. They need some help there from their backcourt. Clippers, let's go Marcus Morris. That's a tough one. I actually struggled with that one. I don't know. Who's an important guy? I mean, you could go Reggie, I guess, too. Reggie Jackson. I don't know. I struggled with this one. I was like, Marcus Morris.
It's the Clippers.
Nobody wants him to win.
Nobody cares.
He is key, though. They threw out a stat on the on the Clippers broadcast that when he hits two or more threes, they're like 20-4. But when he hits one or less, they're like 2-20. I don't know. I'm exaggerating, but something like that. So he's key, man. He's key.
Yeah, he's looked pretty brutal.
He's been bad.
Brutal wine. Shout out to Graydon Gordian through the first two games versus Dallas. 0 for 6 from deep in game one, and then 3 for 9 overall from the floor in game two. You like that brutal reference? Nice.
Is that his? That's his wine line name?
No, it's not his. He was writing about it in some newsletter this morning.
Oh, yeah. I wrote a letter. It was brutal yesterday. Sorry.
Mavericks, last team in the West. Tim Hardaway Jr.
Shocker.
Of course. Yeah, I'm living. Yeah, it's very on brand for me.
Obviously, had to.
I like it. Tim Hardaway Jr. is starting to become a bit more of a household name here with these performances. THJ, baby. People are going to start realizing, well, that guy's father played in the NBA? That guy with the crossover? He doesn't play anything like him. All right, East. Sixers. I always split between Seth Curry and Danny Green just because it's the same role, right? Like, you need some shooters out there with Embiid and Simmons. And those guys can fill it up from distance. Danny Green, he's got the titles. Maybe he's more of a household name, though Seth Curry is a brother of Steph Curry. So, I was split on that one. Anyway, we'll go with both of them. The Wizards, Davis Bertans and his insane haircut. My God, what a look on this guy, eh? We don't talk about this enough. What a crazy look he's got. But
his nickname on Basketball Reference has to be Todd from Breaking Bad. Is that his nickname?
Oh, that's good.
Big Todd.
Tess, Washington 6-3 in games Bertans hits 5 or more three-pointers this season, and the other 3 losses were by a combined 4 points. So it's like, when this guy hits 5 threes, that's a good recipe for the Wizards. That makes sense. Stretching the floor, and it's really the only thing he can do out there. So I'll go with Bertans. Similar with the Nets, Joe Harris. Someone has to be left wide open on this team. Turns out he's one of the greatest three-point shooters in the NBA, and we saw what happened there in Game 2. He scored like 11 points in the blink of an eye because he's left open, and he should be because there's 3 other superstars on the team. Celtics? Oof. I don't know. Evan Fournier?
Time Lord.
It doesn't
Time
matter.
Time Lord, sure. I didn't have much of an opinion. Doesn't matter, says none of this matters, Lee.
You get down 2-0 and your season is over in Lee Ellis's books. You're never coming back from down 0-2.
Yeah.
Not even talking about him. Get him out of the league. Relegated, you go down 0-2.
The Bucks, I like this one. I'm gonna go Bobby Portis. He has been a sneaky under the radar guy this year. Pickup 11-7 off the bench for OG Bobby Portis.
Eye-opening stuff from Bobby.
Well played. He sort of is like the perfect 20-minute-a-game type of guy, though, at least for this Milwaukee team, because he plays his ass off. He plays hard. He never turns the ball over. Takes care of the glass for the most part. He can hit a 3, too. He's added that a little bit. Like, he's not uncomfortable from distance there if he's left alone behind the line. So I'll go Bobby Portis. The Heat. Well, Trey says it's going to be Dwayne Dedman, so let's go with Deadman Walking here.
There we go. There we go. It's Deadman time.
Yeah, I mean, Ariza can't hang with Giannis. He's not bringing it on either end of the floor. Let's get Deadman out there. Maybe he'll turn the series around for them. The Knicks. Okay, the Knicks, Derrick Rose and RJ Barrett are two big names, I think, for this question, so I can't go with them. So I'll go with Alec Burks. Give me Alec Burks, who shot 41.5% from 3 in the season. Mm. Yeah, and was awesome in game 1. He would have been like the hero of New York if they had pulled out that victory. He had 18 points, right, in the fourth quarter. I did forget how badly he played for the Sixers in last year's postseason when they got swept. He shot 32% from the floor and 18% from three in pretty decent minutes. So, you know, he's having a bounce back game one so far for the Knicks. See if he can keep it up. And then
I don't even think he was like in the playoff rotation when he was a Cavalier, right? Like they got him as part of the Jordan Clarkson trade and they're like, I don't think so, Alex.
Yeah.
But he's definitely turned it around in New York. He almost brought him back in game one.
Yeah. And then to finish it off here, I'm almost done. The Hawks, I'll go DeAndre Hunter. I thought he did a pretty sound job of defending Randle when he was on him in game one. I went through and looked at all his possessions. He was like, Randle was 1 for 5 when Hunter was on him as the primary defender. And he averaged, Hunter did like 17 points per game before the injury in late January. He was like, he was arguably the Hawks' second best player. And some people were saying he was their most important player because what he does on both ends. So I'll go Hunter, obviously not a well-known name. I think that's fair, Tass, right? But he's in his third season. He's actually sort of got Derek White vibes if you think about it a little bit in terms of what he can do on both ends. So there you go. Important player from each of the playoff teams. Any objections to any of those?
No. I just have this guy, and I know we went on the question for a while, but this is sort of for a different reason. Ish Smith is interesting for the Wizards. Had a great game one against the Sixers. I just can't believe that little waterbug point guard is on his 11th team. He's nearing the NBA record for appearances on different teams. Mm-hmm. 12 is the record for NBA teams in a career held by Jim Jackson, Joe Smith, Tony Massenburg, and Chucky Brown. 4 guys. I think Ish Smith could pass those guys.
Yeah, it's possible. You can at least tie them.
Yeah, at least tie them. He's going to be with somebody. He's 32. Yeah. He's turning 33 pretty soon. But he is key on that team because Westbrook and Beal do everything. Yeah, 4 Bertons and 4 their centers who don't create their own shots. And Ish, he was a monster in game one. They need him like to come off the bench and do a lot. So, good for Ish to find his way in the NBA. Like he's playing his best ball right now on his 11th team.
Yeah, probably.
So good for him.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast, that would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Next cue.
Let's do it. Hello, boys. Hope you're doing well. I've been listening to Shattered, a great podcast, by the way, and found out that once upon a time, the Nets basically traded Kyle Korver for a fax machine. That's no joke. I also listened to Shattered, a great podcast about the Knicks history, and was taken aback. They sold a draft pick for a fax machine, essentially. It's not a joke. Anyway, so that made me wonder, when was the time you gravely misjudged the value of something when trading, selling, or giving it away? Turn up. That's from Gonzalo in Montevideo, Uruguay. Wow.
Ooh, wow, Uruguay.
I think that might be a first. Yeah. Uruguay.
Yeah. I think
Lee,
that
ever
is
been
a first.
There?
I've been to Paraguay, not Uruguay, though. Yeah.
Oh. Damn. Sorry. That's probably like the most insulting thing you could say to this guy. I have no idea if that's true, but it feels like it.
Wow. Yeah. No, Uruguay and Australia have had quite a few battles at the World Cup qualifiers, actually, to get in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, in 2001, we had to win in Uruguay, lost. Got revenge in 2005
Nobody
when they came to
asked
Sydney.
You about this
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Shout out Diego Forlan, but yeah.
Forlan, yeah, he's good, yeah. Man. He's real good. Real good.
All right,
very good. Quite good.
Skeets, you got an answer for this one?
Well, yeah, I've talked about that number one grandpa shirt that I've given away to Zach Cox. Well, I've talked, I mean, I've brought it up like three times, it feels like, that number one grandpa shirt in the last little bit. So that's my answer, but sticking with the clothing items that I don't even know where it disappeared to. I don't know what I did with it. I don't know if it's like still somehow in my old house in Stratford. I don't know. Deion Sanders, Atlanta Braves jersey. Love to have that one still. Probably would still fit me because you know, I was wearing gigantic clothes back in the mid-90s. A little tiny little skeets there. So yeah, primetime jersey. Braves TK? Wouldn't that be great to still have? I'd wear that.
I think I've seen maybe an Instagram TBT of you wearing this jersey.
Yes, sir, you
got a gray one. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I love a gray baseball jersey. Okay. Doesn't look great for a basketball jersey, but a gray baseball jersey, top notch. Maybe it's somewhere in that basement, bud.
Yeah, but no, I mean like in the house my parents no longer live in.
Uh-oh.
But that doesn't make any sense. Like, we didn't have a secret closet that it was like, that only I knew where it was. So I don't know.
Well, a time capsule? A prime time capsule? You can go back and find your Deion Sanders jerseys?
I guess I gave it away, or I don't know what happened. But anyway, I'd love to have it back. And that number one grandpa shirt, of course. who's Zach Cox sometimes catches the show. You know, he did write to me after the first time I mentioned it and said, yeah, I wish I had it too, man. And like, he regretted ever taking it from me, he said. It's very nice of him. But anyway, that's my answers, Tess. You got anything?
Well, I just moved and I generally only wear one belt. Like, I have
Me too.
Yeah, I'm with, like, I used to, like, you know, color coordinate, but meh. Stopped doing that a while ago. I have a dressier belt and then a regular belt. And for some reason, lost it in the move. Lost a few things in the move and didn't have a belt for a while. Just went beltless, which it's a good time to not have a belt. Track pants don't require a belt. Shorts don't really require a belt. But it's just one of those things that it was just kind of an obstacle, mental obstacle. Like, I would never want to put on pants because I didn't have a belt, and I never want to go to a store really because I didn't want to buy a belt, and I'm not going to order a belt online. They just never fit right. You just never know what you're getting with a belt. I mean, you can get a big one and you can loop-de-loop, but anyway, that's my story. One belt, didn't have it for a while. Then I just walked into a store, I bought a belt, and I walked out. I put it on. I said, I'm wearing this. It feels so good to put on a belt.
Wore it out of the store.
Wow.
Yeah. Got it.
I hear that very often.
One belt, one season for Tass Bellis. I like that.
All I need is one belt.
Yeah. I'm with you, though. It's the one casual belt and one dressy belt. That's all you need.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I know other people have probably like 10 belts. Trey, you seem like a belt guy to me. You're an accessory man, so you got a lot of everything.
Yeah, yep. Got a black belt for my black jeans. Got black belt for my light jeans. I got a dark brown belt for my my khakis, and I have Graydon Gordian's dad's belt for my Levi's, so I can look like a real farmer out there, a real cowboy. But Tass, did you lose your dressy belt or your casual belt?
I lost both.
Wow, in the belt bag that you had, in the move. Wow.
What'd
you do with them? Where'd you put them?
I think I left them in my dresser. Like, I cleared out everything but my one drawer. What a dummy head. But it was so light. Like, it was had two belts in it. So,
but why didn't that drawer come in the move? Like, why didn't that dresser come?
I left it. The dresser, we said, bye-bye.
That's what happened. That's where that
left it on the curb, picked up in a heartbeat before I could even think about going out to grab it.
Maybe that's what happened with my Deion Sanders jersey. Maybe we were getting rid of some things my parents were when they were moving houses. Got put out on the curb in a dresser or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Check your drawers. Check your drawers, Beav. All right.
Check your drawers. Check your drawers. Somebody might be stealing your belt.
That's right. That's right. Lee, do you have an answer for this?
Yeah, you know, when I did the shoot around with Steph Curry, I got the whole full Warriors kit. And we also got a Warriors Steph Curry jersey, I think when Trey went out there one time and he brought back some goods for us. And so a friend of mine, her son was doing the three-point shootout and wanted some inspiration. I said, oh, I've got a Steph Curry jersey you can have. Gave the wrong one. I gave the one that I had the shootout with Steph in. That's the one I wanted to keep. I gave out. Yeah. I think what I did was, it was like, okay, you know, grab the one that you're not sending. But, you know, you sort of grab it and then you just, like, package that one off. I'm like, oh, my God, I've sent the wrong one. I can't ask for it back. It's like, go and have fun with that one. And
go and have fun.
You know.
What if you trade two jerseys for that one? Give it another Curry plus.
No, I mean, I've got other ones, but I just felt a bit weird to say, I sent you the wrong one. Can I have the good that special one?
But they're both really nice jerseys, so it's not that crazy.
Yeah, but the other one's the one that I actually like shot around in. It was like, I've got the shorts still, even though they're a little snug. I think you've got a pair of those shorts.
No, you gave me the shorts. Yeah,
yeah, I've got another pair too. I got two pairs.
Gave you the wrong shorts.
Check your drawers, what I told you, man. Yeah.
I kept mine. I can't wear those though. They're too snug. So yeah, I can't. I haven't got any of that uniform really to be able to wear around.
All right. I got the same problem with all my pants too. Too tight.
Doesn't need a belt. What do you got for this, TK? You got an answer?
I got a lesson in reverse psychology, playing Pogs with my stepbrother once upon a time. We sat down to have a nice Pogs throwdown.
Oh my God. What? I've never heard that said.
laid out our collections. We're going head to head here. He lays out mine. Because, you know, you flip the Pog, you get to keep the Pog. So we lay out our first ones. We're going to go this one versus that one. This one versus that one. He starts with one of mine. It's like a holographic. You know, is it called holographic where you tilt it like that and it just like does a little dance move?
Yeah, sure. That's what I would
holographic,
call it.
Yeah, 3D, whatever you call it. Yeah. It was that and it had a severed head on it. That was the number one worst Pog, my stepbrother said. Number one best Pog for him, a Shaquille O'Neal rookie Pog.
Wow.
Big stuff. So I'm thinking, this is crazy, man. He really wants the Shaq. He's going hard for the Shaq. We throw the first one, slammer. He takes the severed head. No big deal.
How do you play again? Like, what's the goal?
I don't really know. I don't really remember. You stack them up, then you throw the slammer at him.
Yeah.
It hits him, and if it flips him over, whoever did the slam gets to keep those pogs.
Yeah, this sounds vaguely familiar. Okay.
Flip a pog, keep a pog. So we go through. He wins the severed head. I'm thinking nothing of it.
Right.
We finally get to the very end, going head to head for this Shaq. A Shaq pog, man. Imagine if I still had that to this day.
Oh, man.
Be crazy. Yeah. But we go ahead. We're flipping. Pog, pog, slammer, slammer. It's popping up and down, popping up and down. We're having rebuttals left and right, left and right. I finally slam it. Flip it over. I get to keep the pog. Flip a pog, keep a pog. I'm keeping the Shaq. I'm thinking I'm going great. And then my stepbrother hits me with, I wanted the severed head one anyways.
Oh, Jesus.
No!
Oh, no.
And that's literally like when I learned about reverse psychology. He put that one first, thinking I wouldn't care anything about that severed head pog. I'm thinking about it 25 years later, losing that thing. Come on, man. I had my yin-yang slammer already.
Wow.
I was playing for a Shaq. Could have been playing for a severed head. This was ridiculous.
I would love if we could take our Top Shot moments and like somehow pog against each other with them. Make little
top pogs.
Make little
pog
cubes
shot.
With them. Yeah. Battle for our moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Do you have the Shaq pog then?
I don't think so. Oh. I think I left it in a drawer.
Check your drawers.
Some guy got it. Set him out by the street. Somebody come and took it from the curb before I even had a chance to get my slammers back.
Oh man. Because I could see pulling a move, like a classic Lee Ellis move with our old you know, colleagues at TNT getting Shaq to autograph a pog.
Be tough. Tiny autograph.
Yeah,
for a big man.
Oh yeah, I'd love to see him holding a just holding a pog would be awesome.
Imagine Boban holding a pog. I mean, he's got a lot of goldfish in his hands. We'll put some pogs in there next time.
Good pog chat, everyone.
Yep. Nice 10 minutes on pogs there. All right, next question from Gourmet Spud. Oh yes, our good friend in Toronto. Your theme, he writes, would make an outstanding wrestler intro music. I think our theme for the Daily Show is what Gourmet Spud is saying here. Sometimes when I'm walking down the street listening to the podcast, I try to turn a corner after the big horn blare kicks so I can pretend I'm popping through the curtain at that precise moment like a wrestler. Then I've got a little saunter, a little dance step worked out for when the horns pick up that I think would really fire up the crowd. This is an awesome visual. But the question is, if you were a WWE superstar, and by the way, shout out to Gourmet Spud for capitalizing superstar. That's how they like to do it over there, the WWE. What would your gimmick and theme music be? Also, are you heel or face? So are you a good guy or a bad guy is what he's asking. Sipping herbal coffee from my new No Dunks mug on another lockdown day in Toronto. Again, that's from Gourmet Spud. What a question. What a visual, too. Tass, why don't you go first?
Well, coming up with my name, at first I thought, naturally, the Tasmanian Devil or something to that effect.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd be the crazy one out there. But I thought, why do I have to typecast myself? Why do I have to associate it with my name? It doesn't matter what your name is. Then I started thinking about The Rock.
Right.
And I think, you know, no one has been able to replicate The Rock or anything close to it because he is The Rock. But
yeah.
I think I'll call myself the Stone. I think
not to be confused with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, that's true. But the Stone, I think. Yeah, I forgot about him. Yeah. I totally forgot about him. But I'm just going to go the opposite of The Rock. I'm going heel. Call myself the Stone. My finishing move will be called Stone's Throw. I'm just going to throw everybody. And
that's good, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad. And like, if somebody touches my butt in any way, I will say, you've touched rock bottom. I mean stone bottom. I don't know. I think I got something there.
You had me up until there.
Yeah, I know. I just needed a pun. I needed a pun. I reached. Anyways, it's tough. It's tough coming up with your own name.
I had never thought about that, and I heard you go, too, Trey, like two of the biggest wrestlers of all time.
Yeah.
Rock, and there is a Stone, of course, in Stone Cold Steve. So I'm saying, like, Lee, you should be like, I don't know, Pebble or something like that. Here comes Pebble.
Yeah, it doesn't really scare too many people, I don't know.
No, but my point is you're going to be a superstar. Because
okay.
It goes Rock,
yeah.
Stone, Pebble.
Yeah.
Maybe scissors.
Yeah. Yeah. Boulder. Maybe Boulder. I don't know. That's a bit more.
Okay.
You know.
Boulder? All right, that's
yeah.
not bad.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll be Pebble, you be Boulder.
Okay.
Or actually, Trey should be Boulder and I should be Pebble. What do you have for this, Lee? What's your wrestling gimmick? Are you an old school 80s, like, I'm an IRS guy or I'm a garbage
yeah,
man,
I'm the something. Tax man.
Yeah,
just call me the tax man.
They don't do that anymore. I miss that.
I feel we have answered this, like, we answer it every year or so. So I was trying to come up with something new.
Right.
And, my favorite wrestler of all time is still Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. But when I think about it, Steamboat is like, isn't that just a big, slow, big wheel thing that goes along the rivers? Like, so should it be like, you know, you know, wouldn't motorboat be more fun, you know?
What about tugboat? That was a wrestler.
Tugboat, yeah, speedboat.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Boat faction.
I'm John Boat.
John Moxley should change his name to John Boat. Yeah. We'll talk to Renee
that
about
could be
that.
My finishing move is you motorboat your opponent.
Oh, what?
Sure. I don't know. I'm just, you know, because usually it's something that, you know, Banana Man or something like that. It's like, yeah, I've said all that. I've done all that. I'm trying to think of something, you know. I still remember when we went to wrestling here in Atlanta and Ricky the Dragon was there and I was dying to see Renee so I could say, can I just meet the dragon?
I would just love to motorboat that steamboat in the back. Can we make that happen?
Can I just meet the dragon?
Oh, man. Jocko is killing it. Lee would obviously be the banana boat.
Good one. What a faction. It would be incredible.
Oh, man. The faction is called the Marina when they all get together.
Oh, man.
That's good. I like that idea. All right. So, are you a bad guy? Are you a good guy?
I guess I'd switch. I'd go both ways. Okay. I wouldn't mind. Yeah. You know, yeah. Whatever. Like Andre the Giant. Didn't Andre the Giant do a full, he went good, bad, good, or did he stay bad?
Almost every single wrestler has done this.
Yeah.
They don't all stay generally. Yeah.
I mean, they have to, just don't, because it gets so boring if they don't. So you need to mix it up.
You could be when you're a pretentious a-hole, you could be the yacht. You know,
that's
sort of
right.
Like a Ric Flair.
In fact, you know, speaking about belts earlier, I could come out dressed in those, those boat shorts with a really pretentious belt and a real poncy shirt and hat and all that. That's when you're a heel. Would you be a good guy or a heel then?
No, you're an a-hole.
You're basically dressed like some bro in Atlanta with your boat shoes and your tucked-in polo maybe there, and you got the sunglasses around your neck. Yeah, I like that. I like that for a heel.
Yeah.
And then you just end up motorboating the guy.
Here comes the motorboat.
What a visual that is, man. I thought Gourmet Spud had knocked it out of the park. But now I can only picture Lee in the ring for his finisher firing up the crowd by getting ready to motorboat another guy. That's
pretty funny, actually.
That's amazing. All right, Trey, do you have an answer? Can you beat that? Trey, can you hear us?
Can you say a word for me? I'm lagging out big.
Trey, try and maybe undo your mic and put it back in, because you're getting mad static over here. JD's going to help him out. All right, well, we can circle back to Trey's wrestler there down the line, though nothing will beat Motorboat Ellis now. all right, Tess, let's keep it going here.
Hey, Jump Shooters. For the past 10-ish years, I've been playing fantasy basketball with friends in various leagues. I've become more and more hardcore, dedicating lots of time scouring the waiver wire and listening to related podcasts. My most recent league just wrapped up. I won it all, humble brag, and I felt like something has been missing since. I found myself not only checking box scores to games I don't care about, but also occasionally opening the Fantasy Sport app to check the waiver wire to see who's been hot recently. Whoa, the sudden amount of free time I have makes it feel like there's a hole in my soul. I'm being somewhat dramatic, kinda. What's something that finished, concluded, or you've lost that has left you with an empty feeling? Cool story, bro, here. That's from Greg near Los Angeles. So for me, I'll start us up. What we talked about earlier today on The Daily Show, talking about most improved trophy that Julius Randle won. When I left my childhood home, I abandoned my most improved trophies and I never got them back. So that would be this would be the perfect time, or today's show would have been the perfect time to show both of them.
Right.
You know, that's the only reason you really keep stuff like that around. For me, it's on the show when I can show them once. You know, like that's, mm-hmm. those are the only real moments. So it would have been great to show my B2Bs, my back-to-back most improves. Because those were nice. You know, they were ordered from, you know, those really cheap trophy catalog things. But yep. I was proud of those. Proud of those, that hard work I put under Joe Parazzani. And I got there. I got there, man. I got there.
Were they identical trophies, just with different years on them?
Yeah, they were. Same. My name was spelled wrong on one. No, just kidding. they're identical. Didn't even change.
Yeah, it got them in bulk over there at that trophy store.
Yeah, the old trophy store, the old Justin store.
I think we have TK back. Let's check out the static, whether it's there on that mic. Talk to us, TK. You're muted right now.
Yeah.
I think it's just you're muted.
Am I back in the mix?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go back on mute real quick then.
Okay. No, we meant you're good. Is he doing a bit now?
I'm doing a bit, yeah. But I was okay. Actually muted for the bit as well, so I don't think I was killing it on that one. But I'll tell you what was weird. Last week we did those night shows. Yeah. I don't know what to do in the mornings if I'm not talking basketball with my guys.
Yeah, it's true.
I was like walking around. It was like 10 o'clock, you know, finally I'm like, should be recording, should be doing something here. Instead, I'm just breaking down tape of whatever, I guess it was Warriors versus Lakers, one of the games of the season. Good day to take a day. So instead, I just had to chop it up with Isla and Ada, showing them this incredible shot from LeBron, you know, 35 feet out. Got to talk about basketball with somebody, and if it's not going to be you guys, I guess it'll be my real family.
Fair. The question is, what's something that finished, concluded, or you've lost that has you left with an empty feeling? The answer is right there in the question for me. JD, I'd love to get your take on it. Lost, the television series. Oh my goodness. That was fun for the first couple of years with that show. Figuring
it was fun right up until the end.
I mean, yeah, sure. Sure, we have to go back. They went back. It was great. And then, man, what a terrible ending.
It was, but you know what? I've gotten over it, and it's fine. It's like a Norm Macdonald joke, you know? It's not the punchline. It's the journey.
Sure.
You know?
That's right.
It's just, it was what, 5 years of speculation of podcasts? It came into its heyday then. It was the beginning of podcasting where we would listen to theories and we would discuss. I remember literally standing around a water cooler going, oh, what's in the hatch, man? Like, what? What is that? What is the monster? The smoke monster and all that stuff. It's the Dharma Initiative. It was great.
Oh,
it was great fun.
That's true. It's true. It's just, when it ended, it's just like, it was like, you just felt, it was tough not to be like, that was a waste. But you're right. In hindsight, you know, did you enjoy those first couple of years and trying to figure things out? Absolutely. Around the water cooler, dropping a water cooler reference when people actually stood around the water cooler.
That's right.
Everybody was super hydrated back then. So that's my answer. Lee?
I do think you learned a lot from Lost, though. Like, if you remember the lessons of Lost from back in the day, fan theories are going to be so much more interesting than what actually happens in the show. You're probably going to be disappointed about what's going to happen at the end, and the theorizing is the best part of the show, and that has been the case from Lost up through Breaking Bad through Game of Thrones. I guess there's not really as much sort of you know drama and mystery around a show like Succession, but
Westworld is
anytime a show has a disappointing ending where I wish that the fans of the show had written it, I'm like, well, we got another Lost on our hands here.
But
I mean, you're talking about the internet is like thousands of people in one writer's room, right? Like there's only eight people in the Lost writer's room. They're you know, it was purgatory. We figured it out in season two, guys. Sorry. And then they denied it.
Well, that was the whole thing too. It was such a hit, right, that they kept stretching it out.
Yeah.
And that probably didn't help its like entire story arc. But anyway, I'm going Lost. Lee, what you got to answer for this question?
Yeah, I'm actually going TV show too. An Idiot Abroad with Ricky Gervais and Carl Pilkington and Steve Merchant. That was an incredible series. They did three series. But the last series, he went around with Warwick. What's his name? I've forgotten his name.
Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis. Yeah, him and Carl. It was perfect. And they sort of couldn't go anywhere else with it after that because it was such a great climax. But, you know, you still just want them to do it again because it's so much fun. But Ricky said he's never bringing that back. And Carl even said, I heard him one time saying, like, what happened to him was he got used to just kind of like the crappy conditions that they always put him in. And he sort of just like wasn't quite as put off by it anymore. So it wasn't as much fun for him.
Right.
So, yeah, but I thought that was an incredible three-series run that they had, and I'd love to see it again. But again, it's like he's been everywhere, Egypt and Jordan and India and China, and it's like they'd only just be repeating the jokes. And so, you know, it probably wouldn't be as fun, but I'd love to see it anyway.
Okay. JD, do you have an answer for this?
Yeah, what was the question again? Something that's
something
gone
that, finished, concluded, or you've maybe even lost that's left you with an empty feeling.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing, but when What You Need to Know stopped, I was like, oh, sleep.
Awesome.
My old friend.
Hello.
But it was the first week or so, I was just like waking up going, uh-oh, Tass is waiting for me. So And then I would just get up and have a coffee. It was one.
Awesome.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles. How's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify's the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify's Canadian?
No.
I did not know that. Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, a couple more here before we go. Hey, No Dunks, I was walking in the mall and I stopped in my tracks when I came upon a store called All Star Sports. In the window, I saw all these NBA team jerseys that had cartoons on them, including the Garfield Phoenix Suns crossover you guys talked about. We're showing it to everybody joining us live on YouTube, or later on YouTube, I guess. Everybody watching the video, there it is. Wow, jackets and shorts. I couldn't believe my eyes. Take a look. Not only did they have jerseys of these crossovers, but also jackets, hats, and basketball shorts. My personal favorite is the Spurs Wile E. Coyote crossover. Mm. And we are showing you a bunch of photos of, like, yeah, NBA jerseys with all these characters plastered all over them. What do you guys think of these? Thanks for the company on my drives to and from work and the support you throw to those in need. Being part of the AAPI community, it's greatly appreciated. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome. Thanks. That's from Carissa. Yeah, these are pretty incredible things here. Trey, are you a fan of these?
Well, I don't know if I'm a fan of these, and I don't know if I'm not a fan of these. These are just a product that is out there, and we've received multiple emails from people who work at this store or have worked at this store. Apparently, if you go to shopallstarsports.com, you can look at all of this stuff to actually purchase. They've got a bunch of, like, movie jerseys and TV show jerseys, like a Will Smith, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air jersey, Jackie Moon, Flint Tropics. They have a straight-up Jurassic Park jersey, like, if you're a fan of basketball, and also dinosaurs, but not the Raptors. Get yourself a Jurassic Park jersey. Of these ones that we've seen, I love the Wile E. Coyote one. Yeah. I love, I think there's a, like, a Yogi Bear Vancouver Grizzlies one that you can kind of just barely see in the corner of one of these, but my favorite has got to be the Yosemite Sam Nuggets. One of these that you see, like, in the top right corner here, it's on a white jacket. Now, Yosemite is in California, so it doesn't totally match up with Denver, Colorado, but the little Yosemite Sam, and they've got the old school kind of miner logo with you know, the pickaxes or whatever you want to call those things. I think these are great. They're very, very weird, but kind of perfectly weird.
Are these, like, officially NBA licensed?
Like, they have to be, don't they?
I mean, I would think so if they're being sold in a store like this. But
yeah,
I probably are if they have all these other jerseys, like Trey's saying, that people have emailed in. What, you like these, Lili?
Well, actually, no, I don't, because it reminds me of when one of the trips when my dad came back from America, and he goes, "I got you a Lakers jacket." And back then in the 80s, like, if I got a Lakers starter jacket, that would have been like gold.
Yeah.
Instead, as soon as Dad pulled it out of the suitcase, I was suspicious. I was like, it looks like the Lakers logo. It says Los Angeles Lakers, and I'm like, okay, it's not quite a starter jacket, but it's an NBA jacket, and I was wearing it, and it was like, it's a ripoff. It's clearly a ripoff after a while. So Dad must have picked these up from somewhere for like $20 because, right, you know, starter jackets back then were still $100. And, you know, I guess Dad just didn't want to spend that much money on them. But these remind me of those. I'd be like, because like you say, are they real? Are they official? They sort of have to be able to use the NBA team names and stuff like that. So that would sort of, it just bring back memories to me. That'd be like, if I was to wear one of those, I'd be like, I'm wearing a jacket that I'm not sure if it's actually real or not, so I don't like it. Just get me the real one.
Did you wear that Lakers bootleg to make Dickie feel better?
I didn't ever say to anyone, hey, this is a bootleg. I told everyone, like, this is just the cool style that they had, you know, because it wasn't
cool jacket, Dan.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a black jacket cool with like jacket, the white kid sleeves and stuff like that. But it was, you know, it was clearly a fake. But, you know, it was comfortable. And yeah, just because it was NBA gear and there wasn't tons of that in Sunbury, I had to wear it around. Yeah. But
it didn't
inside,
say, like, Los Angeles Takers on it or something.
No. I mean, the Lakers logo was close but not exact, you know, because I knew the logo so close back then and stuff. And I was just like, yeah. I didn't put it together straight away. But after a while, I was like, okay, I see what Dad's done here, you know.
Did your brothers get other NBA jackets, like teams?
No, I think my oldest brother got the same Lakers jacket. And then Dad got something else for my other brother. So, you know, look, he brought back Jordans, like legit Jordans and stuff, and you know, so he actually did.
He's a baller.
He brought back some real good stuff. So he was already probably like $400 or $500 down the drain anyway by then. And then these starter jackets again, like $100 a pop. He's like, my kids won't notice the difference, and if they did, they won't say anything. Maybe that's his thought process, and it worked. So,
okay. Tass, do you have anything for this one, or sorry, any comments on these jackets?
Listen, I don't know what it is about the little Jetson Houston Astros one, but
Elroy there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm digging it.
It's cool.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm jiving with it for some reason. I mean, I'm kind of with Trey. I'm not super excited, but I don't know. There's something about it. Maybe it's just a cartoon. I like cartoons, and you're reeling me in here.
I know the reason.
What is it?
It's exactly the same jacket as the Rounder.
It's baseball-y.
Which cartoon character would you put on a Rounder's jacket? It's a tough question.
A cartoon of Matt Damon.
Team America Matt Damon on your Rounder's jacket? Okay.
An Oreo cookie, maybe? I don't know if there's a good cartoon. I mean, you could do Tasmanian Devil, like, running around the bases.
It'd be good for you,
Yeah. I guess people in the stream team are saying those NBA Looney Tunes are not official. Like, they're not licensed by the NBA. That's what people are saying.
They don't look too legit. I would have to agree on that point.
There's just like who's going to sue them first then? Looney Tunes or the NBA?
Exactly.
I guess Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Weird. But
got to order them now before Space Jam 2 comes out.
Good point.
Space Jam 2.
Coming soon.
Coming soon to a jacket near you.
That's right. All right, one more cue.
Yeah, final one here. During last week's drop, Skeets was talking about his buddy Tim at U Chicago. Little did I know that Tim was going to be Tim, who I've worked with at the university for a few years now.
Wow.
Mind blown. So my question is, when was the time you found out someone you considered normal, not famous, Tim, in your life, was friends or close to someone you considered widely known or famous? Skeets, turn up. Love you guys. Awesome. That's from Chris in Chicago.
Crazy, crazy stuff. Well, say hi to Tim when you see him there again, around the university, if you guys are back and safe there. Yeah, Lee, what do you got? You got an answer for this?
Yeah, so you guys know my friend Big Bez. I've told you about him a few times.
Yeah,
we were, I don't know, 19 or 20, and he was working in the city. And so Friday nights he used to say, come into the city, I'm drinking with my work friends. I was like, sure, why not, you know? So we went in, and one of the girls that he worked with, she was a bit older, about 10 years older. She was actually engaged to a famous Australian rules football player who at the time was on like the Warriors 73-9 team. The team was having just the incredible season. And so we sort of, you know, I'd go out and see him and then her. And then like occasionally he would turn up. He wouldn't be drinking because he's in mid-season and stuff like that. But it was like, oh my God, I'm just like hanging out with, you know, be like hanging out with not like Steph Curry, but like Andre Iguodala, you know. It was kind of like hanging out with someone that close. And anyway, so we sort of stayed in touch, and then it was about 5 years later, I'd moved over to London at this point, and we sort of stayed in touch, and they were getting married in Florence, in Italy. I think you've been there, Skeetsy. And yes. They invited me to their wedding. And so here we are. We went to their wedding together in Florence. It was the most incredible day, because I honestly, outside of these two, I didn't know a single person there. And most of the wedding was actually in Italian. They were both Australian, but of Italian heritage. And it was the most incredible day. We just ate and ate and ate and drunk and everything. And the wedding actually finished at like 6 o'clock in the evening. It went all day long.
Look at but that it was shirt just, on Leo.
Oh, I know. And yeah, so I had the weekend in Florence. We were hanging out and it was awesome. It was just so cool to be like, hey, here's my man. He's, I think he might have retired actually at that point, but okay. He played about 120 games, which is doesn't sound all that many when you compare it to an NBA season, but in the football season, there's only like 20 games. So he played about 6 to 8 years there for the Blues, and yeah, it was awesome. There's Jody and Ron. Shout out to Jody and Ron.
If you go back to the carriage photo for a second, JD, I honestly thought you were like stealing his bride there. I thought that was you. I'm like, oh my God, he is actually holding her hand. Somehow Lee's into the photo, into the wedding. But okay, wasn't you.
Florence is just one of the most amazing cities as well in Italy, which is full of amazing cities. But yeah, there we were on a Saturday afternoon, and everyone's just hanging out in the like plaza there. And I was like, oh my God, this is just incredibly fun. So I didn't know anybody, didn't know what anyone was saying, but just drank wine and ate pasta all day. It was one of the most amazingly fun weddings I've been to.
It's a good story. I can't even compete with that. Trey or Tass, you got one that compares?
My buddy from college is a high school basketball coach in Chicago now, at a high school in Chicago. He also does a lot of work with Team USA basketball and like goes and coaches at all their clinics for all their youth programs and that sort of thing. So he meets some people that he meets some big names in the basketball world as well. So I was very surprised to see flipping through his Instagram one day that he's become friends with former Chicago Bull and former Raptor Aaron Gray.
Oh, wow.
That's a weird guy that I would never think that would enter my life again after he left the NBA. You know, he's been out of the league now for a little bit of time, and but he's still 7 feet tall and still ready to teach some people basketball. So, yeah, it was pretty weird to see Aaron Gray just showing up on Instagram feeds and leaving comments in my buddy Nick's posts.
Okay. Tass, were you there in Toronto at a house party once when, to bring it back to wrestling, Renee Young, Paquette, whatever you want to call her, showed up, and she brought Dolph Ziggler to the party? Were you at that party?
I was not, no.
That was fun. Like, hey, Dolph Ziggler's here. It's the only one that just popped into my head. But that makes sense, because she's obviously doing a wrestling event, and then they're in Toronto that night. And we're like, yeah, come on by, we're having a house party. She's like, you mind if I bring people? We're like, nah. Here comes Dolph. Then I fought him for the Intercontinental Championship that night right there in the living room, Sam Carsley's house. He beat me, Lee.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised. What about that big guy in Vegas, that massive dude?
Oh, Rusev.
Yeah. Oh, he was the biggest man I've ever seen.
Hey, what about this wrestler?
Yeah, I know. All right. Wish Ricky the Dragon was on Divas. Man.
This guy just wants to see the dragon.
Oh, I just love Ricky the Dragon. He's just awesome, you know.
Oh, I would have been so pants. Good at a house party. Somebody could have said, "Enter the dragon." And here he comes. We all would look. Lee would freak out. Ah, that'd be great. Tass, you said you got an answer for this one. You got a good story?
No. I've ate and drank in Florence before as well. It was phenomenal. Probably some of the best food I've ever eaten, for sure. It was amazing. That's all I did there, really.
But that's yeah.
You were like, in a way, you were sort of a wedding crasher, but it was.
Well, I mean, I was invited, but you know, they in this particular.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah. No, I mean,
you got
like
an invite.
Though. Yeah,
yeah, they said because, and this was before like you know social media, so they must have emailed me somehow. I don't even know how we did that back then, but anyway, they do these sort of games throughout the wedding, like right where they blindfolded the bride and they lined up like five dudes. And she had to feel our calf muscles to determine, like, you know, which one was her husband. And I was like, and I got called up and I was like, oh, my God, this is like, you know, I'm like, I hope she gets it right. You know?
If she picks you, that means you're married to her?
Ah, I don't know. I just didn't know what quite, you know, because, again, no one, I didn't know anybody. So I'm like, I don't want anyone to, you know, see, ah, that dude, who's he? And then now, she, you know, she thinks he's his husband. I don't know. But, oh my God, nonstop, just food, wine, and but you don't get like just blind like at a sort of, you know. Yeah, you know, at an Australian wedding, everyone's just trying to get as drunk as possible.
Right.
This one was more sophisticated, you know.
You weren't motorboating anyone in Florence later.
Not that I remember, no.
Oh, God.
Wow. All right. Go, Vince.
We got to call it there. Great stuff. Good emails, guys. Great questions. Some fun NBA ones, some non-NBA ones. That's what we like to see. Keep them coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com to email them in. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc, or you can leave them in the YouTube comments below. Go grab your NoDunks merch over at NoDunks.com. And we'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern, live on YouTube and the podcast soon to follow to break down tonight's, what do we got? Three games, right? Mm-hmm. Three big game twos, of course. Pivotal game twos, some would say. So we'll be back at 10 a.m. Eastern live here on YouTube to discuss them all. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Rap Stallion in the stream team is asking the question everybody wants to know, Lee. Did she pick her husband's calf?
Yes, she did, and everyone was relieved when she did.
Especially you. Did she think you were a horse? Because you have large
calves. I think I was first, and she sort of like quickly moved on, and I was just thankful for that. Because I didn't really know what was going on. I'm like, oh, this is
The traditional calf grab.
Only in Florence. Embrace the day, people.